Blog Talk Radio.
I'm scared. Welcome to Eerie House Radio. Yeah, you know it. It's Alfred Hitchcock at the drive-in today as we complete our weekend. Last night we had the birds. Tonight, 39 steps. I am Dale Kay from Spook Show, here along with
Dave Binkley from Weirdness, Really Bad Movie, and Spaceship One. And it's really interesting. You know, I know it's out there, and I think I've seen it in bits and pieces. I've never seen this film in one shoot. And when I was reading up on it for a little bit today, I didn't realize what an absolute classic this film is.
That's right. And we're getting a radio adaptation from Lux Radio Theater. Got some good stars in this one. Robert Montgomery and Ida Lupino tonight.
Yeah, and Ida Lupino originally came over from England, and because I did at least one film that she did when she was 19 years old, The Ghost Camera. And she came over here to work, film work, and before you knew it, she was directing as well as acting, and was one of the only stars to ever star in an episode of Twilight Zone and then direct an episode of Twilight Zone as well.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people realize, Dave, how successful, what a pioneer female in in Hollywood land she really was. I mean, she was an actress, a singer, a director, a producer, and just very prominent. I mean, hey, she was Wasp Woman, okay? so she had that going for her. And I don't mean a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. Hell no. I mean, she turned into a real wasp lady. The wasp.
Well, you know, maybe that's why I felt stung by her, you know?
Yes. Yeah, an attractive lady and a very skilled at everything she did. And I believe what? She was in It's About Space, no? Imogene Coco. That was
Imogene Coco. I know that she did. I know she did an episode of Columbo, even with Johnny Cash. Believe it or not.
Well, she did appear in Alfred Hitchcock's Presents, Thriller, The Twilight Zone, Have Gun Will Travel, Honey West, The Donna Reed Show, Gilligan's Island, 77 Sunset Strip, The Rifleman, The Virginian, Sam Benedict, The Untouchables, Hong Kong, The Fugitive. And yes, Bewitched as well.
There you go. Wow.
Yeah. Yep. She guest starred in the Ford Television Theater, Bonanza, Burke's Law, Batman, The Mod Squad, Family Affair, Wild Wild West, Nanny and the Professor, Barnaby Jones, Streets of San Francisco. She got around the block. And I don't
know. Well, not only that, but she also starred in a series. She starred in a series with her husband, Howard Duff. And it was Mr. and Mrs. Adams or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. That they and that was at least one full season that they did together on that. And she was a driving force in keeping him active when he was semi-quasi-blacklisted during the good old McCarthyism. She kept pushing for him and pushing him out there, and he kind of got through it better than most other actors did.
Pretty amazing. Now, I did not know this, but Ida Lupino was diagnosed with polio in 1934. And at the time, there was an outbreak of polio within the Hollywood community. It was due to contaminated swimming pools. So I guess it spread.
Wow,
you know?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was the polio vaccine back then at that point.
Not in 34, I don't think. The disease severely affected her ability to work, and her contract with Paramount fell apart shortly after her diagnosis. She recovered and eventually directed, produced, and wrote many films, as we know. And pretty amazing.
Including one of my favorites that she did, that she directed, The Hitchhiker, with one of my favorite radio actors, Frank Lovejoy, and of course O'Brien, who was the original Johnny Dollar.
Yeah. And real quick, because we do got for lots of radio.
We got a lot of radio.
We got caught up in Ida Lupino on Alfred Hitchcock Night, but she ended up, she was married and divorced three times. Her third and final marriage was to Howard Duff, as we know from oldie tiny radio and television as well.
Yep, and just a wonderful combination between the two of them. So I've seen it. They had a couple of episodes on YouTube of their channel. But, yes, we do have a lot of radio. It has nothing to do with tonight's show, but okay.
Hey, these sidebars are great. We learned so much that we didn't know.
Yes. All right, well, you're right, because she's in the radio adaption, right, of this Hitchcockian classic, which a filmmaker and actor Orson Welles referred to as a masterpiece. Now, if Orson Welles was not in it and calls it a masterpiece, it was a masterpiece.
Yeah. Yeah. If something was not up to snuff in his mind, Orson Welles was not one to hold back.
Right. Absolutely. No,
so an endorsement from him is high praise.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. It's not a shallow comment. A compliment when it comes from Orson Welles.
Mm.
And with that,
we probably ought to get started, Dave, so we can squeeze in all the fun and facts that we have for you tonight. This, again, is from Lux Radio Theater, their adaptation of Alfred Hitchcock's The 39 Steps. And this one is from
December 13th, 1937.
From Hollywood, California, the Lux Radio Theater presents Robert Montgomery and Ida Lupino in The 39 Steps. Lux presents Hollywood. For your loyalty to our product, Lux says thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and brings you another hour of entertainment direct from the film capital. Tonight, we star Robert Montgomery, Ida Lupino, Isabel Jewell, and Gene Lockhart, with Major C.E. Russell, formerly of the United States Intelligence Service, as the evening's special guest. Louis Silvers conducts the orchestra. And here beside me, our producer and your host, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Cecil B. DeMille. Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. The 39 Steps lead an old friend and a newcomer, Robert Montgomery and Ida Lupino, to the stage of the Lux Radio Theater. Since here last, Robert Montgomery's been rushing back and forth between two lots. One is the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer studio, where with Rosalind Russell he's completed Live, Love, and Learn. The other is a lot in Beverly Hills, on which Bob has just finished building a new home with a beautiful library. And Bob is a man who really uses his library, for he's constantly seeking new screen material. President of the Screen Actors Guild, Bob devotes at least three nights a week to that organization. So this fall, he took time off to go to his farm in New York State for a few weeks of partridge and pheasant hunting. His favorite Hollywood sport is tennis, in which activity he's expert enough to be the frequent opponent of Sidney Wood, the ex-Davis Cup player. Bob is heard tonight as Richard Hannay in The 39 Steps, adapted from the Gaumont British film, which in turn was taken from the novel by John Buchan. Gaumont British will shortly release The Girl Was Young, starring Nova Pilbeam, and Derek DeMarnay, directed by Alfred Hitchcock. Ida Lupino is a girl I've watched very closely and suggest that you do the same, for every Lupino seems destined for greatness in the theater. To American film audiences, she's the best-known representative of perhaps the oldest stage family in the world. 350 years ago, when acting was considered a crime in Italy, Alfredo Lupino, acrobat and troubadour, fled from Naples, turned gypsy, and eventually found welcome and fame in England. Ever since then, Lupinos have added to the excellence of England's entertainment. Ida's father is Stanley Lupino, among London's most popular comedians. She has a sister, two cousins, three uncles, and five aunts, all noted performers, while her mother is Connie Emerald, once a celebrated dancer. Along with 3.5 centuries of tradition, Ida has inherited a turned-up nose, violet eyes, and blonde hair. She's an excellent musician and painter, can speak the language of the deaf and dumb, whistles as well as a farm boy, likes to wear sneakers, and is a prize mimic. A highly entertaining miss, you meet her tonight in the role of Pamela. Isabel Jewell, featured in such hit films as Lost Horizon and Marked Woman, is heard as Annabella. And Gene Lockhart, top-flight character actor, back from the New York stage, is Mr. Memory. And now for the play. The Lux Radio Theater presents Robert Montgomery and Ida Lupino in The 39 Steps with Isabel Jewell and Gene Lockhart. A London music hall. The evening performance is on and the theater is jammed to the doors. The audience has sat comfortably through the acrobats, the singers, and the whirlwind dancers. But now they're restless. The manager appears on the stage to announce the feature act. His hand is raised for silence.
Ladies and gentlemen! Ladies and gentlemen! With your kind permission, I now have the honor to present to you one of the most remarkable men in the world. I present Mr. Memory. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Every day this remarkable mentality commits 50 new facts to memory. 50, ladies and gentlemen. Facts from history, geography, newspapers, scientific books. Millions and millions of them. And he remembers them all. Test him, ladies and gentlemen, test him. Ask him any questions you like, and he will answer fully and freely. Mr. Memory.
Thank you. Thank you. Now then, ladies and gentlemen, a question, please. A question from anyone in the audience.
Who won the Derby in 1921?
Mr. Jack Jewell's humanist. Steve Dunne, you up, won by a length. Odds 6-1. Am I right, sir? Thank you very much. Thank you. Question, please. Do not hesitate. Another question, please.
Who was the last British heavyweight champion?
Bob Fitzsimmons. He defeated Jim Corbett, heavyweight champion of America, at Carson City, Nevada, in October 1897. He was then 34 years of age. Am I right, sir? Thank you.
Mr. Memory. Who won the Football Cup in 1926?
Would you mind repeating that question again, young man?
Who won the Football Cup in 1926?
Bolton Wanderers defeated Manchester City at Wembley by 3-1 in the presence of His Majesty the King. Am I right, sir?
Right.
Thank you. Another question, please.
Hey, where's my old man been since last Tuesday?
Madam, he's been where you can't ask him silly questions. Will the lady in the gallery please confine her questions to those of a more serious nature? Thank you very much. Gentlemen, no fighting. No fighting, please, gentlemen.
I'll get you out of this. Get back there. Clear the aisles there, will you? This way, miss. This way. Come on.
There you are, miss. Take a good deep breath.
Oh, thank you.
You all right?
Yes, sir. I had to get out of that theater, that's all.
A lot of people had that idea.
Oh, it wasn't the panic that frightened me. It was something else.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
Oh, I'm in terrible trouble. Will you help me?
Trouble? What kind of trouble?
I can't tell you here. Can we go someplace and talk?
Well, my flat is nearby.
Oh, let's go there. But hurry, please.
Go in, miss.
Thank you.
Now, if I can find this light switch.
Oh, no. Don't turn on the light.
What?
Don't turn them on. It will be safer.
I'm afraid I don't...
Will you pull down the blinds, please?
Very well. This just puts me doubly in the dark. My name's Richard Hannay. Any objections to telling me yours?
No, it's Annabella Smith.
Smith? Not really.
Is there anything wrong with it?
No, just an unusual name. What's this all about? You said you were in trouble.
You don't believe me, do you?
I believe you're slightly hysterical.
If I am, I have good reason. I was the one who fired those shots in that theater tonight.
You? Why?
I had to do something to create a disturbance. I had to get away from there. There were two men in that theater who wanted to kill me.
Oh, come on.
You've got to believe me.
But why should anyone want to kill you?
Because I'm what you would call a professional spy.
A spy? Whom do you spy for?
Anyone who pays me.
I suppose you're here to dig up some big state secret.
No. I'm here to save a secret. For England.
Oh. Go on, please.
The agent of a certain foreign power is on the point of obtaining a secret vital to your air defense. I tracked two of his men to that music hall. Unfortunately, they recognize me. That's why they're after me now. You still don't believe me, do you?
No, frankly, I don't, Annabella.
Very well. If you will look out of that window, you will see two men standing across the street. Look, please do.
All right. I'll play your game a bit further.
Well, don't let them see you. Well?
By Jove, you're right. Two of them. They seem to be looking up here.
Come away, please. Do you believe me now?
Well, I suppose I must.
I'm going to tell you something that's not very healthy to know. But now that they've followed me here, you're in it as much as I am.
Yeah, so it seems.
Have you ever heard of the 39 steps?
39 steps? No. What are they?
Never mind, but this much you must know. If those men are not stopped, it's only a matter of days, perhaps hours, before the secret is out of the country.
Why not call the police?
Because they wouldn't believe me any more than you did. And if they did believe me, how long do you think it would take them to get going? Those men are acting quickly. You don't know how clever their chief is. Clever and ruthless.
Well, what's his name?
He has a dozen names, and he can look like 100 people. But there's one thing he can't disguise. The top of the little finger on his right hand is missing.
Oh. Come on, now you're trembling.
I'm frightened.
Well, you needn't be. You're safe here, you know. What you need is a good night's rest.
Oh, yes, I do.
You can have my bedroom. I'll sleep on the couch here in the living room.
Are you sure you don't mind?
Sleeping on the couch? Well, I've done it dozens of times.
No. I mean, being in danger.
I'm not quite convinced of that yet. Is there anything I can get you?
Yes. Have you a map of Scotland, please?
A map of Scotland? I have an atlas over here somewhere. If I can... Oh, yes, here it is. You going deer stalking or just plain hiking?
There's a man in Scotland I must see next if there is anything to be done.
I see. Are the 39 steps in Scotland?
Perhaps I'll tell you tomorrow. Good night, Mr. Henning. Thank you.
Good night, Annabella. Pleasant dreams. Annabella. Annabella, was that you? Annabella, open that door. Will you open that door, or do I have to break it down? Annabella, where are you?
Oh,
Here, look at me. What's happened? What's the matter?
They came through the window. One of them had a knife.
Knife?
Oh, don't touch me.
But you're hurt. You're bleeding. Here, I'll call a doctor.
Oh, it's no use. Listen, you've got to stop those men. In a few days, they'll have the secret out of the country.
But how will I stop them?
Kinreach. The professor.
Kinreach?
Kinreach. Scotland.
What's there? Who is this professor? What's in Kinreach?
They're up. They'll get you. Like they did me.
Annabella. Annabella. Good God.
Kirkcaldy, Dundee.
Ticket to Kenridge, please.
One, sir?
Yes, one. Hurry, please.
One to Kenridge, Scotland. Here you are, sir.
Excuse me, is this seat taken?
Not by us, it ain't. Sit down, young fella.
Thank you.
I said, Jess, who won the 2 o'clock at Epsom?
Here it is. Bachelor Button, odds 7-4.
Ah, Bachelor Button, eh?
Hello, look at this. Another woman murdered in a West End flat.
Murdered, eh? Who was she?
A well-dressed woman of about 25 was found with a knife in her back. The tenant, Richard Annay, is missing.
Blimey, if that ain't the blasted limit. Missing, eh?
The police are hot on the trail and watching with careful eye all points of departure from London.
Oh, so that was what they was doing, eh?
Who?
Scotland Yard. Two plainclothes bobbies. I seen them get on this train. Asking plenty of questions they was, too.
Look here. Here's a picture of that Annay chap.
The tip is squinted in. Rum-looking lot, ain't he?
Excuse me.
Here, young fellow, where are you going? Don't you like that seat?
Oh, thank you. I just remembered.
In a bit of a hurry, wasn't he?
He was, that. I say.
What?
I say.
I say, we have quite a show for you tonight as we present the 39 steps.
That's a lot of steps to go through just to cure alcoholism, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I thought it was just like 13, man. That's three times that.
Dave, different step program.
Oh, different step program.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Okay.
Hey, a little bit about Lux Radio Theater. Started off in New York as the adaptation of plays. And from December 1934 through June of 1935, it was on New York station WJZ when it went to CBS and WABC from July of 1935 until May of 1936. Then, staying with CBS, it went to the West Coast, where they stayed there from June of 1936 till June of 1954, where I guess it was canceled and went to NBC for one more season of the September 1954 till July of 1955. All in all, they had 926 hour-long episodes and 21 years. What a heck of a run. Also, from 1951 to 1959, there was a Lux Video Theater as well.
Cool.
So quite a history there. Again, we talk about the longevity of some of these programs that we show and how many episodes there were. They're just under 930 episodes of this series along. And a good many of these, especially the ones after they left New York, did survive. So,
and we hope to play them all.
We do like these movie adaptions. That's very, very much, very exciting going on here. But again, what more do you expect out of Hitchcock, who was a master of suspense?
Yeah, he was, and he picks the greatest stories. Just like last night's movie, The Birds, how many times was that story told from Daphne du Maurier's writings? We've got another great one.
How many times was it successfully told? Would be a tougher question. Yeah. Hitchcock knew how to pick material and to present them. And
some
people, Spielberg, especially earlier in his career, just knew what people would like. Walt Disney knew what people would like. Hitchcock knew what would put people on the edge of their chairs.
Yeah, he understood He really was. I mean, you know, all memes and everything aside, he really was the master of suspense.
He really was, absolutely. I can't think of a single show that didn't have, even when it came to his you know, his Alfred Hitchcock Presents, he literally had to approve of every script before they were allowed to film it. And so even though he didn't write them, and he only directed, what, a little over half a dozen of them throughout mm-hmm. its run, because, what, he's busy being a movie director.
Yeah.
But he had – it was written up that way. If he was going to do this show and do the little bits of the openings and the closings as he did, which endeared him to so many people even today, it was because most of them were mocking himself, which is what made it so great. But he had script approval of every single script. And if he didn't like it, or if he said this change had to be made, that change had to be made.
He was a bit, I don't know if you want to say if taskmaster is the right word, but he definitely was a demanding person from what I understand, not necessarily in a bad way, although some people claim to have had bad experiences with him.
Billy Mumy is not real over-enthralled with him. He thought Hitchcock treated him horribly in a couple of Hitchcock Presents, I guess. And he did not like how Hitchcock directed him or made him feel, you know.
Yeah. Well, then he can just wish him to the cornfield. I don't know.
He can now, yeah. Pirate, maybe so, CW, maybe so.
Yes. some would argue that in all fairness, but let's focus on his positive side of him, which was his ability to create that aura of suspense, as we try to get in all the radio time we can with part two of the 39 Steps.
I beg your pardon. This is a private compartment.
Oh, is it?
Yes, and it happens to be occupied.
Yes, so I see. Very charmingly, too.
Well, what do you want, please?
Your hospitality for a short while.
Really? Well, I'm not interested. Now, will you please go?
I can't.
What?
It isn't safe.
Listen, are you going or shall I call the conductor?
No, don't do that.
Stop. You're hurting my wrist.
I'm sorry. Listen to me. I want your help.
My help?
I'm Richard Hannay.
Hannay? Why, you're the man the police...
Yes, but I'm innocent. I swear I'm innocent. Listen, you've got to help me. It's terribly important that I be free for the next few days. You will help me, won't you?
Yes. Yes, of course I will.
That's fine. I'm sorry if I hurt your wrist.
Oh, that's all right. You say the police are on this train looking for you?
Yes, that's why I forced my way in here.
Oh, I see. And just how am I supposed to help you?
Well, they're looking for a man traveling alone. If I stay here with you, they'll think we're together. We'll pose as man and wife, and they won't pay any attention to us. They'll just pass us by.
How clever you are.
You'll do it?
Yes, of course.
Say, you're all right. What's your name?
What's that got to do with it?
Nothing. I just wanted to know who my benefactress was, that's all.
Well, I'm Pamela Stewart.
Pamela? Oh, that's rather pretty. Suits you.
Thank you.
There they are now. Remember, I'll sit here and pretend to read. You do the talking.
All right. Come in.
Excuse me. Have either of you seen a man pass here? Young fella, smooth-shaven?
Why, no. Wait, are you the police?
That's right, miss.
Then this is the man you want. He forced his way in here and told me his name was Richard Hannay.
Why, did I? Come here, you.
Let go of me.
Are you Richard Hannay? Well, speak up.
Yes. Thank you very much, Miss Stewart.
Well, you didn't expect me to harbor a murderer, did you?
Unfortunately, I did. And I am not a murderer.
We'll see about that. Come on, Hannay.
Certainly, gentlemen. I'll go with you willingly. In fact, I'll lead the way.
Grab him. He's gone. Here, get after him. Open that door.
I can't. He's holding it from the other side.
Here, let me try. Together now. One, two, three. Get out of the way. Where is he? Where did he go?
Here he is, down the passageway.
Stop him. Grab him before he gets to the best of you.
Come back here, you. Come back, you. Stop.
Have you got him?
No. He's gone.
What?
He jumped. He jumped off the train.
The fool. He's probably lying dead in a ditch.
No. The last I seen of him, he was on his 2 feet and running like a rabbit.
During our first intermission, and while waiting for Act Two of the 39 Steps, starring Robert Montgomery and Ida Lupino, we'd like you to go with us to one of the millions of homes where Christmas secrets are in the air and listen in on a very interesting conversation.
Aunt Sally, come here. I want to see you alone.
More secrets, Betty? Well, the house is full of them.
Now the door's closed, we can talk. Aunt Sally, what can I give Mother for Christmas?
Did you ask her, dear?
Yes, and she just says all she wants from me is love and kisses.
Well, I did hear her say she needed more stockings. How about getting her some of the lovely sheer ones we saw in the store today?
But she always says sheer stockings are extravagant.
Not necessarily, dear. They wear very well if you're careful about washing. Just dip them in Lux suds every day. Lux keeps the silk nice and springy, so it doesn't break so easily into runs.
Then I'll tell you what. I'll buy some and tell Mother I'll Lux them for her, every time she wears them. I'll buy a big box of Lux and give it to her with the stockings.
Now, that's a real Christmas gift, Betty.
Okay, I'll get some Lux Flakes right away.
And be sure to use nothing but Lux Flakes, dear. You know, rubbing stockings with a cake of soap is bad for them. And some soaps are strong, too harsh for delicate silk things.
Oh, thank you, Aunt Sally. You're an angel to help me. Mother's the most perplexing person on my list.
Stockings for Christmas and Lux Flakes for stockings. A perfect combination. We return now to Mr. DeMille and our play. Robert Montgomery, Ida Lupino, Isabel Jewell, and Gene Lockhart continue with the 39 Steps. Two days have passed, and Richard Hannay, wanted for a murder he did not commit, is still at large. Determined to discover the secret of the 39 steps, he's made his way to Scotland. The driver of a donkey cart has given him a lift, and he's now on the last leg of the journey, the outskirts of the village of Kinreach.
Are you going to stay long in Kinreach, laddie?
Well, it all depends. I'm looking for work. You suppose I could find something?
I hae my doots, laddie. Kinreach is a mighty small town. What do you do?
I'm a chauffeur.
Well, I'm thinking you'd better try somewhere else, then. What folks has need chauffeurs, and Kinreach has had them for years.
Oh, I see. But, aren't there any newcomers? I mean, somebody told me about...
Now, wait a minute. I come to think of it, I did hear something. About a retired professor moving into the big house on the edge of the moor.
A professor? Yes. Yes, that's it. I can try it anyhow.
Yes, sir?
I'd like to see the master, please.
What name shall I say?
Well, he doesn't know my name, but you might ask him if he knows Annabella Smith.
Yes, sir. Would you mind waiting in
there? Is there someone for me, George?
Oh, yes, Professor. How do you do?
How do you do? My name is Hammond. I've come from London. From Annabella Smith.
Oh. Well, do come in, please. You must be tired. We can talk in the library. My daughter's having an engagement party. I'd rather not disturb her.
Yes, of course.
Go right in, please.
Thank you.
Sit down. Will you have a drink?
No, thank you.
Well, now what did you want to see me about, Mr. Hannay?
Hannay, you know me.
Yes. I suppose it's safe to call you by your right name now. What about our mutual friend, Annabella?
She's been murdered.
I know. Poor girl. The police are looking for you.
Yes, but I didn't do it.
Oh, of course you didn't. But why come all this way to Scotland to tell me about it?
Well, I believe she hoped to come to see you about some air ministry secret. She was killed by a foreign agent who was trying to steal it.
Oh. Did she tell you what this foreign agent looked like?
No, she hadn't time. Oh, yes. There was one thing. She told me the top of his little finger is missing.
On which hand, Mr. Hannay?
On the left, I believe.
Are you sure it wasn't on the right?
It might have been.
Like on my hand, Mr. Haney?
Good Lord. And you're the one she...
The one she was trying to warn you against. The chief. You misunderstood her. She meant for you to kill me, not to bring me information.
Yes. Well, what are we going to do about it?
Ah, that's just the point. What are we going to do? You see, I live here as a respectable citizen. I should hate to have it known that I am not what I seem to be. You understand my position.
Oh, yes, quite.
What makes it doubly important that I shouldn't let you go is that I'm just about to transfer some very vital information out of the country.
What?
Oh, yes. I've got it already. I'm afraid poor Arabella would have been too late in any case.
Well, that's that, I suppose.
Yes. Well, what about it, Mr. Haney?
What about what?
Yourself. It seems to me there's only one way out.
And what's that?
I've a small revolver here. Pretty little thing, isn't it? Supposing I left you alone with this. The newspapers could then announce tomorrow morning that the murderer had taken his own life.
You want me to kill myself?
Yes.
You're mad. I won't do it.
Then I'm afraid you leave me no alternative. You should have stayed in London, my friend. Oh, George. George.
Yes, Professor?
I want your help, please. There's a little job for us inside.
Haney?
Yes. We'll carry him to the garage. When it gets dark, we can drop him off on the road somewhere.
Yes, sir.
Come in.
Where is he, sir?
Behind that table.
Here, sir?
Yes. Pick him up and...
I'm sorry, sir, but there's no one here.
What?
Well, you can see for yourself.
But I shot him. The body was lying there on the floor.
The body, sir? Seems to have disappeared.
Get out of the road, please. What do you mean by standing in front of my car? You might have been killed.
Sorry, lady. I just wanted a lift. Would you mind...
Well, Miss Stewart, how do you do?
You? Well, what are you doing
Richard
here?
Hannah is my name. I believe we've met. On a train, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, I think so.
Yes. Yes, if I remember correctly, you handed me over to the police. You did, didn't you?
Oh, get away from me.
Oh, don't worry. I don't hold it against you, really.
Well, that's very kind of you.
Yes, isn't it? What are you doing in Kenrich?
I live here.
It's a charming place, isn't it? You know where the local police station is?
Oh, of course I do.
Will you take me there?
What?
The police station, in a hurry, please.
Certainly. Well, I suppose you know what you're doing.
Oh, yes. You see, I know who killed Arabella Smith.
Is that so?
It's the same man who shot me a few minutes ago.
Shot you?
Yes.
Where?
Right in the cigarette case. See? There's a hole in one side of it. Handy little thing, cigarette cases. If I hadn't been carrying it about in my vest pocket, the hole would have been in my chest.
Mm, and who was this arch-villain?
Gentleman called the professor.
Professor? Oh, now, you don't mean Professor Bartlett.
I didn't stop to inquire his last name.
Oh, come now,
it isn't as funny as that.
Do you actually mean you're going to the police with this story? That Professor Bartlett shot you? That he's the one who killed Arabella Smith?
Of course, why not?
Oh, and you expect them to believe it, I suppose.
Well, you don't, evidently.
No, and neither will they. Professor Bartlett, a murderer. Why, he's one of the best-liked men in the village and a very good friend of the sheriff. I'm sure the sheriff will be interested in your story, Mr. Haney.
Yes. Yes, I see your point. Hadn't occurred to me that... Stop the car, please. I'm getting out.
Oh, no, you're not.
Stop this car.
You said you wanted to go to the police. Well, that's just where you're going. And if you touch me or make a move to jump, I'll turn this car into a ditch.
Well, aren't you the sweet little thing?
Now, you just sit tight, Mr. Haney, and don't make any sudden gestures. We're going rather fast.
You haven't the nerve, of course.
Haven't I? Just try me.
All right, I will.
Don't touch that brake.
Hang on. Where are you? Are you all right?
Quite all right, thank you.
You little fool, we might have been killed.
Hello there!
There's someone coming. Keep down.
Let go of me. Hello, hello!
Shut up!
Over here, Richard Haney!
Why, you...
Richard!
Grab that man.
All right, Haney, we've got you. And don't try any funny business. Stand up.
Yes, of course.
Are you the police?
We've been looking for you, Haney. Put the bracelets on him, Joe.
Right you are. Put out your hand. There we are.
Now put out the other one on the girl.
Yeah, what are you doing?
We are handcuffing you to your friend here. Any objection?
Now see what you've done.
Oh, shut up. Listen, you can't do this. I don't even know this man.
You ride around the country with him in a car, but you don't know him. Of course you don't.
Yes, but I'm telling you,
keep
I don't.
Keep your mouth shut. All right, Joe. Take him to our car. It's a good day's work.
A very good day's work on Erie House Radio as we present the 39 Steps.
A lot of adventure going on here. Spy, espionage, and adventure. You know, another one of his films that I'm really not familiar with is Rebecca. Of course, I've heard of it, but I didn't realize it was nominated for 11 Oscars and won the Academy Award for Best Picture. That just is beyond me. Of all the films he made, that one was more Oscar-worthy than so many of the others, it looks like.
Well, at least the Academy felt so.
Well, yeah, it could have been the competition he had that year, too, possibly.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. But a real good presentation tonight. They got me out at the edge of my seat here with like you said, the espionage and double-crossing and all kinds of fun
it's
stuff.
It's the classic story of the guy who just does not seem believable when he is telling the truth and trying to keep on the run until he can prove himself innocent. That's why I put in here, he sounded like a fugitive. Look for the one-armed man. But so it's just a very good story Hitchcock picked, as he was excellent at doing. Except for Family Plot, which I have to give another chance to.
Yep. Too many Winstons. That's all I got to say. Dave, are you still with me? I think we lost our Dave. Hold on and let me set him back in there. Well, folks, you there, Dave? I'm not hearing him, so let's go into part three of Lux Radio Theater.
Oh. Will you please move over?
You talking to me?
Yes, I am.
Very well.
Ow, my wrist.
Well, you asked me to move, and if I move, you move with me. It's a scientific fact that when two people are handcuffed together...
Officer, must I be chained to this man?
Aye, you must. And keep quiet about it.
Wait a moment. Where are you taking us? This isn't the way to the sheriff's office.
Well, we're not exactly going to the sheriff's office. Eh, Joe?
Not exactly, no.
Well, where are we going?
Well, it's the real head we are going to see. The sheriff's principal. Eh, Joe?
Aye, the sheriff's principal.
I don't understand.
Would you like to have a small bet with me, Pamela Stewart?
Now, what do you mean?
I'll bet you 100-1 that the man they call the sheriff principal has the top joint of his little finger missing. Am I right, gentlemen?
You shut your mouth, young fellow, or I'll shut it for you. For good.
You see, Pamela, I win. They're taking us to your old friend, the professor. Charming gentleman, the professor. Best-liked man in the village and a personal friend.
Oh, be quiet, will you?
What are we stopping for?
Sheep. A whole flock of them across the road.
Well, blow your horn. Maybe that'll scare them.
Stubborn beast. They won't move an inch.
Well, come on. We'll have to get out and shoo them off.
Here, get on there, shoo. Get on there.
Go on. Get you to the way. Go on.
Now's our chance. We'll make a run for it.
Run? How can we?
Come on. When I say jump, jump and run for your life.
Yes, but they'll catch us.
Go on, jump.
Hey, look. They're getting away.
Stand where you are.
And there they go.
Give it to him.
They're shooting us.
Come on, you little fool. Run for it.
Please, don't go so fast. You're hurting my wrist.
Shut up.
Oh, I can't go any further. I've lost my shoe.
Where?
Oh, back there.
Well, forget it. All right. Sit down. Sit down for a while.
You think we've lost those men?
Well, it's as black as pitch on this moor. They'll never find us now.
You know, this is all very silly. You can't escape. What chance have you got handcuffed to me?
Keep that question for your husband when you get one. Meanwhile, I'll admit that you're the white man's burden.
Oh, yes, I know, and I can't tell you how it comforts me.
Oh, why don't you give yourself up?
To whom?
Oh, give yourself up to Scotland Yard.
Thank you, but it's a little impractical at the moment. Listen to me. I told you the truth on the train, and I'm telling it to you now. There's a dangerous conspiracy against this country, and I'm the only man who can stop it.
I don't believe you.
All right, very well, then. I'm just a plain, common murderer who stabbed an innocent, defenseless woman in the back in Portland Place, London. I don't know how innocent you may be, but you're a woman, you're defenseless, and you're alone on a desolate moor in the dark. And you're manacled to a murderer who would stop at nothing to get you off his hands. If that's the story you prefer, have it, my lovely, and welcome.
Well, I'm not afraid of you.
Why not? For all you know, I murdered a woman. You listen to a bit of advice. From now on, you do everything I tell you to do and do it quickly.
Oh, you wretched boy.
I admire your pluck, but you keep a civil tongue in your head. Otherwise, I might feel the next killing was a bit overdue. All right, on your feet now.
Well, where are we going?
I see some lights over that way. We'll do a little investigating.
Well, I won't go. I'm going to stay right here.
Pamela, are you forgetting I murdered a woman? Well?
Don't you strike me. I'll go. What kind of a place do you think this is?
I don't know. Looks like an inn. Now remember what I said. A civil tongue or else. And you back me up in everything I say or do. You understand?
Yeah.
Stay close to me and hold my hand. It'll hide the handcuffs. Good evening.
Good evening. Welcome to King's Head Tavern. And what can I do for you and the lady?
We had an accident with our car a few miles back.
Hey, that's too bad now. You want to stay the night, I suppose.
Yes, we do.
And will it be two separate rooms or one?
Oh, two separate
rooms.
One
room, please. One.
Well, which?
One, thank you.
Oh, one. And what's the name?
Hawkinson. Hawkinson, yes. Henry Hawkinson and Mrs. Hawkinson.
Well, come along, Mr. Hawkinson. The rooms are at the top of the landing.
Thank you. Nice place you have here.
It'll do. Here's the room.
Oh, thank you.
Well, good night to you.
Wait. Now, wait, please. You mustn't go.
What's the matter, lass? Is there anything wrong?
Yes,
of course
well,
there's nothing wrong. She wants to tell you something, that's all.
Yes,
yes
I wanted
yes,
to...
Yes, we... You see, we're a runaway couple.
Ah, you know.
Yes. As a matter of fact, we've been running all night. If anyone inquires for us, you won't give us up, will you?
That I won't. I was young myself once. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Inside, Pamela.
Of all the outrageous things. Listen, you don't think I'm going to spend the night in this room with you?
Personally, I don't see how you can help yourself.
Stop jerking my arm.
I'm so sorry. I want to take my shoes off. My feet are tired. You'd better stand here by the fire and get warm. You'll be catching cold.
And if I did...
Stand by the fire.
Don't yell at me like that. I didn't ask to come with you.
And I didn't invite you. But here we are.
Well, aren't you afraid the men will find us?
I'm not thinking of that so much as some way to get out of these handcuffs.
Oh, I have a nail file in my pocket. Maybe that'll help.
That would be dandy. If you file 24 hours a day, 10 years from now, we might be free. Imagine, tied to you for 10 years. It's a horrible thought.
I've had enough of your insults. I'm going to tell the innkeeper the whole story.
You want me to hang for a murder I didn't commit?
As long as you hang, I don't care whether you committed it or not.
What a bloodthirsty creature you are. Haven't you any pity?
Nope.
Ow! What are you up to now?
I'm merely trying to file the handcuffs.
Well, don't jab me in the wrist that way. I don't like it.
I'm sorry.
You're going about it in a very amateurish fashion anyway. I can see you know nothing about filing handcuffs.
I'm sure you do. Tell me, how did you start being a criminal?
So you want the story of my life. It's really very interesting.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
I was born a poor orphan boy. From the beginning, I hadn't a chance. Ouch!
I'm sorry it slipped.
Accidentally?
Accidentally. Go on, please.
I started by pilfering pennies out of other children's lockers at school. And a little pocket picking and car pinching. And at last my efforts were rewarded and I graduated into straight burglary.
With diploma?
With diploma.
Oh.
I killed my first man when I was 19. It scared me at first, but I soon got hardened to it. Lady, you wouldn't believe me if I told you.
It was your fault. The whole thing was your fault.
It was my fault? How do you make that out?
If you hadn't have stopped the car for those blasted sheep, we'd have had the two of them in the professor's parlor right now.
We'd better have them there soon is what I say. The professor was anxious about Hanny. Knows too much, he said. Get him.
Get him? We had him. And the girls, too.
You didn't suppose they'd head in somewhere, do you? Stop at a tavern, I mean.
They might, in this weather.
There's a place about 4 miles back. King's Head Tavern, it's called.
King's Head Tavern. That'd be somewhere near where they gave us the slip. Turn around. They'll find out.
Right.
And if we see them again, blast you. Shoot straight.
I will, all right. You can depend upon that.
And then little by little, and year by year, I sunk lower and lower.
And you got better and better.
That's right. You might have read about me in the papers. They call me Hannay, the Cornish Bluebeard. And that, milady, is the horrible story of my life.
Dear, dear, and you have such a nice face. How many people have you killed altogether?
Nine. If you don't watch the point on that nail file, it may be 10. Ouch!
At least I'm trying to do something.
Well, if you don't mind, I'm going to try and get some sleep. I haven't had a wink for 48 hours.
Well, I'm not in the least bit tired. Besides, I have to stay by the fire and get dry.
All right. You don't mind if I stretch out in the chair, do you?
No, not at all.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. I don't see how you can sleep at a time like this.
Hmm?
I said I don't see how you can sleep at a time like this.
I'm hardened to it. That's all. Hardened criminal will sleep any time.
Listen, did you hear that? There's a car out there. It just drove up, a car.
It's your imagination.
It's not my imagination. I heard a car. Oh, all right, if you don't care.
Don't care. Just don't care. Oh!
Don't do that! What's the matter with you anyway?
Oh, I'm so sorry. You mustn't get frightened, Pamela. I have awful nightmares. I guess it's my conscience bothering me. Good night.
We pause for station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. We pause now between the scenes of the 39 Steps. Robert Montgomery and Ida Lupino will be back shortly when we raise the curtain on Act 3 in this play about spies. Spies may be roughly divided into two classes. There are the mercenary spies who traffic in state secrets, selling them for cash to the highest bidder. And there are patriots who risk their lives solely for the protection of their country, who receive the smallest monetary rewards, and whose names never get into the newspapers. The Richard Hannay of our play belongs to this second group, and so does tonight's guest, Major C.E. Russell of the United States Army, retired. Before this country entered the World War, Major Russell temporarily loaned his services to Scotland Yard as one of their American operatives. Back in the United States Army during the war, he served on a special staff in France. He later instructed our Army officers in the art of espionage and is the author of a standard military textbook on this subject. With such a background, Major, there should be no better authority to answer the question, just what are the qualifications that make a valuable spy?
The qualifications today, Mr. DeMille, are exactly the same as in biblical times, and the instructions which are taught follow very closely those which Moses gave to his men when he sent them forth to spy out the land of Canaan, to learn what the land contained, the strength of the enemy, if the people were content, and how strong were the walls. Then, as today, spies had to have powers of observation, of memory, and description. These are the three traits that must be developed in a capable espionage agent, and are the least developed of all human traits. In addition, he must have common sense, a good general education, an ability to take orders, and preferably, a knowledge of foreign languages.
I've noticed that the opinion held of a spy varies greatly. Some people have only the greatest respect and admiration for a spy. Others consider them vicious, double-dealing scoundrels who stop at nothing to attain their end.
How well do I know that? But I think these people would change their minds if they only realized that spies are one of the greatest forces for world peace. I am, of course, referring to patriotic spies, not mercenaries. I believe that a patriotic spy, by keeping his country informed of military activity in other lands, enables his own nation to properly prepare itself, and a properly prepared nation is a nation seldom attacked. The war that they are ready for rarely comes.
If what I've observed is true, you soldiers who fight with your brains instead of bayonets are finding more and more women as your co-workers. How does a woman compare with a man as a spy?
Very favorably. up to one point. A woman's heart will rule her head much more quickly than a man's. Today, there is probably one woman to every two men in the world's espionage service. We've learned that if you want to make a man talk, send a pretty woman. And when we want to make a woman talk, we make her jealous. Both theories work amazingly well.
It would appear to me that spying is one activity which provides little or no room for modernization. Along with qualifications, I presume that methods have changed little since the days of Moses.
That's very true, Mr. DeMille. They remain essentially unchanged, but there have been radical technical changes in carrying out those essentials. For instance, there's a machine recently developed in this country so delicate and so accurate that it can etch an invisible secret message on a surface no larger than a grain of corn. Or, to employ a commodity with which perhaps you're more familiar, it could etch the map of an entire country on a single lux flake, and that's probably the finest, thinnest, and most fragile thing I can think of for the moment.
I know that you can read through a flake of lux, Major. It's actually only 2/1,000ths of an inch thick.
I see. Almost as amazing as this machine I'm speaking of. Lux flakes remind me of women, and women, in turn, recall an amazing spy story I encountered during the World War. It concerns a Swiss opera singer who volunteered in the French Red Cross as an entertainer. For 2 years, she made periodic visits to a home in Switzerland, each time using the same route over the French border. One day, she started to cross and found a new officer in charge. He took a good look at her and immediately ordered his women assistants to search her. They returned with a petticoat of this famous singer. Suspecting that it might contain invisible writing, the lieutenant called for hot irons and himself applied them to the petticoat. The heat revealed what had been invisibly written in lemon juice, the complete working drawings of a new French war tank. The reason the lieutenant had suspected Madame was that before the war, he had been a style designer in Paris. One of the first things he observed about the singer was that while she was dressed in the height of fashion, she wore a starched petticoat, and starched petticoats had been out of style for 10 years.
To me, one of the truest utterances of the great French general, Marshal Foch, was his statement to a group of his espionage agents. "You will die 1,000 deaths," he told them, "before oblivion comes, while the man in the trenches dies but once."
And no better example can be found, Mr. DeMille, than that patriot of Revolutionary War, John Honeyman. Too old to carry arms, he became a confidential spy at Washington's urgent request and posed as a Tory. Despised by his wife and family, ostracized by his friends, he became a cattle buyer for the British Army. American soldiers were ordered to shoot him on sight, but John Honeyman kept his promise never to disclose his real identity. Once, he allowed himself to be captured, knowing he might be shot, but there was a chance of being brought before Washington first. This fortunately happened, and Honeyman was able to disclose to Washington how some of his own men were on the verge of assassinating him by placing poison in the general's food. And it was John Honeyman who, on Christmas Eve, crossed the Delaware alone, entered Trenton, discovered the condition of the Hessian troops, and reported back to Washington on the other side. On Honeyman's unsupported testimony, Washington made his celebrated crossing, won his celebrated victory that turned the tide. Honeyman returned to his New Jersey home after the war, still an outcast, still an object of hate and scorn. His magnificent services were never announced until Washington himself made a special trip to Hackensack and publicly proclaimed him one of the greatest heroes of the American Revolution. His example will always remain a shining light to Americans who seek to serve in the silent, secret, and sometimes inglorious ways of espionage. I thank you.
Thank you, Major. That's very interesting.
Nice. He made spying sound very noble.
Let's hear it for spies. Yay.
I like Spy versus Spy.
Oh, yeah. Good old Mad Magazine there. Yep. I guess the Hitchcockian style includes the use of camera movement to mimic a person's gaze, thereby turning viewers.
And once again, we're Daveless. It's a shame. He'll be back. Have no worries. As we're enjoying the 39 steps from Alfred Hitchcock, let's might as well finish it up. We'll have time for fun stuff after we get to Part 4 and the conclusion of Lux Radio Theater's 39 Steps.
Once again, the 39 Steps, starring Robert Montgomery and Ida Lupino with Isabel Jewell and Gene Lockhart. It's early the following morning. Richard Hannay stirs restlessly in the armchair and rubs his eyes sleepily. Suddenly, he jumps from the chair and stands in the middle of the room, staring down at the handcuffs which are dangling from his wrist. Pamela Stewart, on the other side of the room, smiles cheerily.
Good morning, Mr. Hawkinson. Looking rather dazed this morning.
How did you get free?
Oh, very simple. A little matter of work while you had your nightmares.
I suppose you filed the handcuffs.
No, darling, I picked the lock. I was trying to do the same for you, but the file broke.
Say, what's wrong with you?
Oh, nothing that I know of. Oh, you mean my shoes. Yes, they're rather large, aren't they? I borrowed them from the innkeeper's wife.
No. It's not the shoes. Why are you being so nice? You don't feel ill or anything, do you?
No, why should I?
Why didn't you leave? You were very anxious, too, if I remember correctly.
Well, something happened last night to convince me you've been telling the truth.
May I ask what earthquake caused your mind to work at last?
When I got free, I went downstairs. That car you said I imagined belonged to our pursuers. They were sitting downstairs when I got there.
Did they see you?
No, I hid behind the counter. They asked the innkeeper about us.
What did he say?
Said he hadn't seen us. Then they ordered something to eat. And while they were eating, they talked a lot about the 39 steps.
39 steps?
Oh, don't ask me what it means, because I don't know.
Anything else?
Well, they said the professor was clearing out of the country.
Then he has got the secret. Did they say how soon he was leaving?
No, but they did say that he was going to London first to pick up someone at a music hall.
39 steps. London Music Hall. It doesn't make any sense. Which room are these men in?
Oh, they left.
When?
Oh, about 4 or 5 hours ago.
And you let them go after hearing what they said? Oh, you button-headed little idiot, you.
Don't you speak to me like that.
My dear girl, I'm accused of murder. The only way I can clear myself is to expose those spies.
Then why don't you go to Scotland Yard?
What's the use? You said yourself that no one would believe me.
Well, then why don't I go to Scotland Yard?
Why not? They'd listen to you.
Of course they would.
Come on, we'll get the next train for London.
You wish to order now, sir?
No, thank you. I'm waiting for someone.
I beg your pardon, sir. Your face looks familiar. Are you in the cinema?
No, I'm not. Bring me a bottle of ale, will you?
Very good, sir.
Oh, make that two, please.
Yes, miss.
Pamela, sit down.
Did you think I was never coming?
Not exactly, but I was getting nervous waiting. Well, what happened? Did you go to Scotland Yard?
Yes.
Well?
Prepare yourself for a shock.
Why?
They've checked every possible channel. The Air Ministry are positive that no papers are missing that would be of any possible use to spies.
But that's incredible. Are you sure?
Well, that's exactly what they said.
I don't know what to make of it.
I think you've been tricked.
Well, certainly is all very bewildering.
Oh, I'm sorry, Richard. Really, I am. Look, I think you better go now.
Go where?
Oh, any place. Leave the country. I'll help you.
You?
Oh, I know it sounds funny, but somehow I couldn't bear the thought of them catching you again.
Why, Pamela?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I've just changed my mind about you, that's all. Of course, you're as vain as a peacock, and I couldn't stand you for any length of time, but you're not so bad.
Well, you're not so bad either. If I weren't in this jam, I'd...
What?
Nothing. Come on, let's get out of here.
No, you better stay. I'll run and get you a ticket for Liverpool. There ought to be a boat train
Pamela.
Soon. Well, what's the matter? What are you staring at?
Look out the window. You see that billboard across the street?
Yes. Is there anything strange about it?
A list of acts playing this week at the Palladium. The feature attraction is Mr. Memory.
But I don't understand.
Come on, we're going to get out of here.
Well, where are we going
now? To the
now?
Palladium.
But why?
I don't know, but we're going just the same.
Here are your seats, sir. First two on the aisle.
Thank you. Sit down, Pamela.
This is silly. In the first place, the show's almost over. If anyone sees you here, what are you looking for?
Be quiet. I'm just playing a hunch, that's all.
Well, you're playing a fool, so ask me.
Ladies and gentlemen, with your kind permission and attention, I now have the honor to present to you one of the most remarkable men in the world. I present Mr. Memory.
Pamela.
What?
Look at that right-hand box nearest the stage. You see that small man sitting in front?
Why, yes, it's...
It's the professor himself.
You better get out of here before they see you.
No. Sit down. Listen.
Every day he commits to memory 50 new facts, and he remembers every one of them. Facts from history, from geography, from newspapers, from scientific textbooks.
Pamela, yes, I've got it. I've got it.
What?
Don't you see the details of this Air Ministry secret have been borrowed, memorized by Mr. Memory, and then put back again before anyone could know?
Well, that's it. Of course it is.
Pardon me, sir, but there's a gentleman who would like to speak to you.
Who, me?
You, Richard Annie.
Well, I...
You're under arrest.
Wait, officer.
President.
Listen, there's something here you ought to know.
That'll keep, Annie. Come along quietly.
Yes, but you must listen to him. That man on the stage can...
Come on, we don't want any excitement here.
All right, I'll go quietly.
Richard, you're not.
Distance from Montreal, 1,424 miles. Am I right? Thank you. Question, please. Do not hesitate. Your question, please.
Wait a minute.
Mr. Memory, what are the 39 steps? Come on, answer up. What are the 39 steps?
The 39 steps. The 39 steps is a secret organization aided by Professor...
Where is
he? There's a man up there in the box. He's the one who shot him.
Stop that man.
Stop that man. Stop him. Stop him.
To see Mr. Memory, please. Where's his dressing room?
Number 5, but you can't go in now.
Well, I'm afraid we have to. Detective, have you a pencil and a piece of paper?
Yes.
I want you to write down everything you hear.
But listen here, I
do as he tells you, please.
I'm going to prove to you that the man who shot Memory is the murderer of Annabella Smith.
What is it?
We want to see Mr. Memory. How is he, Doctor?
Very bad. Did they get the man who shot him?
Yeah, we got him all right. He'll hang for it, too.
Oh. Mr. Memory, can you hear me?
Yes.
Mr. Memory, there's something I'd like you to tell us, please.
Yes.
What was the secret formula you were taking abroad?
Will it be all right, my telling you? It was a big job learning it. The biggest I've ever tackled. I don't want to throw it away, sir.
It will be quite all right.
The first feature of the new engine is its greatly increased ratio of compression, represented by the formula 1 minus 1 over R to the power of gamma minus 1, where R represents the ratio of compression and gamma dimensions of cylinders. Diameter. This device renders the engine completely silent. The exhaust gases impinging on a series, entirely eliminating all sound. Am I right? Am I right, sir?
That's quite right, old chap. Secret will never leave England.
This way, please. We can pick up the police car on the corner.
The police car? Where are you taking us?
The Scotland Yard, of course.
Scotland Yard?
Yes, but you can't do that. You heard what that man said. He didn't kill anybody.
Easy now, easy. He'll be all right. All we want is to put the story on the record.
Oh.
Oh, that's better.
You've nothing to worry about at all. He'll be a free man in an hour, Mrs. Annie.
Annie? Well, what are you talking about?
Well, I... Oh,
Mrs. Annie.
I'm sorry. I thought...
That would be just fine, that would. We were together for one day. One day, and we fought for 24 hours.
20? You were asleep 4 hours.
Can you imagine what it would be like? Fight for breakfast, fight for lunch, fight for dinner. One long, drawn-out battle for the next 30 or 40 years.
Oh, 30 or 40 years. Do you think we could keep it up that long? I mean, really.
Well, we could try.
Robert Montgomery and Ida Lupino have completed the 39 steps, but they'll take a 40th when they return later to the microphone. First, a word from Melville Ruick.
Thank you, Mr. DeMille. Just a moment for a suggestion to the women who begin when winter comes to be bothered by rough, chapped hands. Perhaps they don't realize that the trouble may start in the simple daily task of washing the dishes. Here's the reason. There are oils in your skin which give it a protective coating against cold weather outdoors and steam heat indoors. If you use a strong soap in the dishpan, these oils are dried up. Your skin gets rough and red. To protect these beauty oils, simply change from your harsh soap to Lux Flakes. Women find the difference between Lux and ordinary soaps for dishes almost unbelievable. They feel it the moment they put their hands in the dishpan. There is no sting in the very gentle, soothing Lux suds. Almost at once, your hands will begin to look smoother and whiter. Begin tomorrow to keep your hands lovely by washing dishes with Lux Flakes. I turn you back now to Mr. DeMille.
At the moment, both our stars, Robert Montgomery and Ida Lupino, are having a breathing spell between pictures. Bob is back after 6 weeks in the East, and Ida's been indulging in her favorite avocation, composing music.
And not just simple little ballads, Mr. DeMille, but the real thing. Not so long ago, the Los Angeles Philharmonic Orchestra played Ida's symphony, Aladdin and the Lamp.
Oh, thanks for the nice boost, Bob. You know, composing's really very exciting, although I had no thought of attempting it until 2 years ago. It was just about this time of year I was riding in a taxicab down Hollywood Boulevard. The street was crowded with Christmas traffic, when all of a sudden the noise seemed to take the form and tempo of a melody. Well, I rushed right home, worked straight through till morning, and there it was, and I've been at it ever since.
What's your latest composition?
Something I've just sent to London, the score and book for a musical comedy. Look, I hope no one's going to get the impression that I think I'm a great musician. In fact, I know so little that I often use a code to take the place of notes and musical symbols until I have time to figure out what I'm trying to do. I use the letters of the alphabet for a code. If you ever saw one of my scores, you'd think someone had spilled alphabet soup on an orchestration sheet. But I think our listeners are a lot more interested in what Bob's next picture is going to be than in my music. So, Bob, suppose you tell them.
Well, if I knew, I'd be glad to. I'm having story difficulties at the moment.
Don't we all? Can't you find the right one?
Well, the trouble is, I've found the right two. And MGM and I can't make up our minds which will make the better picture. Number one is a light comedy, the type of story that audiences have been favoring so much lately. Plenty of laughs and sophistication. Number two, also a modern story, presents a definite problem of living that any one of us might have to face. A very interesting story for an actor, but the question is, will it interest an audience?
And in the meantime, you're first shot a fence, eh?
Exactly. And since that's not a very comfortable spot to be in, perhaps the Lux Radio Theater audience will help me out. I'd really be very grateful if you'd drop a card or a note to Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, to me, or the Lux Radio Theater, and let us know which of these two types of pictures you prefer to see. A light comedy or a story with a social problem. In the meantime, my thanks and good night.
Good night, Mr. DeMille.
Good night, Ida. Good night, Bob. Thank you, Robert Montgomery and Ida Lupino. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your announcer, Melville Ruick. Mr. DeMille returns in just a moment with news of next week's play and stars. In our cast tonight were Leonard Mudy as Professor Bartlett, Reginald Sheffield, Herbert Evans, and Keith Kenneth as detectives, Lionel Belmore as innkeeper, Vernon Steele as cart driver, Edgar Norton as manager of the music hall, Eric Wilton and Raymond Lawrence as Cockney travelers, Ward Lane as butler, Eric Snowden and Norman Ainsley as Scotchman, Sybil Harris as a rowdy, and Phyllis Coughlin as a woman. Louis Silvers appeared through courtesy of 20th Century Fox Studios, where he was in charge of music for the new picture, Love and Hisses. And now, our producer. One of the most glamorous beauties of the screen that the screen has ever known appears in the Lux Radio Theater next Monday night. Marlena Dietrich. Our play is taken from the highly successful motion picture in which Miss Dietrich starred, The Song of Songs, the love story of a Viennese girl and the three men who tried to win her. Miss Dietrich will be surrounded by an all-star cast headed by Douglas Fairbanks, Jr., with Lionel Atwill. Our sponsors, the makers of Lux Flakes, join me in inviting you to be with us again next Monday night when the Lux Radio Theater presents Marlena Dietrich, Douglas Fairbanks Jr., and Lionel Atwell in The Song of Songs. The special guest of the evening will be the creator of Mickey Mouse and the Silly Symphonies, Mr. Walt Disney. This is Cecil B. DeMille saying good night to you from Hollywood. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
For joining us live. All right, CW, Fogsby, and GGSI Paper, Vorpal Bite, thanks for listening live. And who's joining us here? A lady? Let's try that again. Oh, lady. Oh, boy. How about Dave? Anyone? Am I alone again? I suppose I am.
Down.
Echo. Oh, we lost right. Somebody who was in there for a second.
That should be there now.
Oh, there we go. Here comes our caller. As we wrap up.
Hello, Dave. Dave.
There you are, Dave.
You're back.
Oh, I have so much trouble with this daggone blog talk, I guess. There we
sure,
go.
We'll play blog talk. Yeah.
We're playing musical buttons here behind you there, CW, just to try and get rid of some of that echo that I was creating.
Yes.
Oh, that's fine. I'm being very delicate this time with this microphone since I don't want to be a hurricane force wind like I was last time.
Oh, that's all right.
Can you hear me?
You're sounding absolutely marvelous.
Yes. More marvelous. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Pip, pip, cheerio. God save the queen and all that sort. Pip, pip.
Pip and Walter, were you real familiar with this story before?
The 39 Steps. I have seen the black and white movie. I don't know if they did when Hitchcock went to Hollywood, if they did a...
Well, no, this was from in the UK. Originally filmed in the UK.
Oh, right. But I don't know if they did a Hollywood version of it.
I don't think they did.
More Hollywood.
Did they?
Because I know the man who... Well, I think he did. He redid at least a couple of his movies. He redid The Man Who Knew Too Much. There's a British... The famous version with Doris Day and Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah,
I like the original one. Well, the original one had Peter Lorre in his first English-speaking roles, yeah.
Yes.
Yes, I'm sorry, you can't say Peter Lorre. You have to say
Peter Lorre.
Yes.
Peter Lorre.
You know, he does such wonderful work.
He does, whether he does it on radio or television or movies. He just always was a master of what he did.
Yeah, and like some of our other horror favorites, you know, he had to master the language coming here.
But he did, yes.
I mean,
unlike Bela, who just never really seemed to get it or tried to get it much clearer. You know, he got to a certain point, and that was it for him.
Yeah, and you could suggest that his accent pigeonholed him, but I don't know. He still had a feel of personality in some regard.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even back then they had dialogue coaches, so I don't know. Perhaps he had the same thing Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, Schwarzenegger's had tons of dialogue coaches, but he can't break that accent.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny is to hear certain people be able to do so many accents. When you think of Hugh Laurie and how he did House, and you think of Benny Hill, many times he broke his English accent to do Ironside and things like that. That he when he was doing his parodies and such.
Oh my God, Benny Hill.
Yeah, he was fun.
Yes. Oh, and Not that I'm terribly sorry about the little tirade I went on there when that former professional spy, as it were, was saying, well, female spies are almost partly, you know, that just really gets my atomic blonde hackles up.
Are you trying to tell us you're a spy, CW? Or have been a spy? Is that what you're trying to say? You'd have to kill me.
Well, then you'd have to look underneath your car every time you went outside, wouldn't you, Dave?
Oh, jeez. Go.
I still do. It's to see if my catalytic converter is still there.
You afraid you're going to go all Danny Green, Dave?
That's kind of a local reference here, yes. But yes. He was the guy that worked for the unions, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was from the Irish part of Cleveland, and
yes.
A real big guy in labor, and he bumped heads with the mob. And he had amazing luck. He survived like 3 assassination attempts or something. The fourth one got him, though. Blew him to smithereens.
But finally he blowed up real good, yeah.
Oh, my. So he and Jimmy Hoffa are now roommates, eh?
Yeah. Well, parts of them are over here.
Okay, and I'm supposed to have the dark humor?
There's just something wrong with me. Like I had to tell you.
Yeah, I was going to say, at least we weren't spies, but don't tell me. So what is that show?
Any music for? Yes?
Well, actually, Dave, no, we no longer have time.
We don't have time for it. We don't have time for it, yeah.
But we do have time for, like, music, yeah.
You sure we do?
We got music.
Hey, Dale, I got paid this weekend. Here's my virtual nickel. You can reach over there and slide that into good old jukebox.
There we go.
I'm the last one left on the corner of that old gang of mine. All the songs I sing don't sound a thing like when we harmonize. Sweet Adeline has not a pal to say goodnight to. I go home all alone, sit and pine. 'Cause I'm the last one left on the corner of that old gang of mine. Thank you.
Why do they call that a foxtrot, I wonder?
I have no idea. Hal Kemp, I'm the last one left on the corner. Because he's an ugly guy. Nobody wants you, pal.
Lost on the corner.
I know
because
that feeling.
Because all the others got busted.
I know the feeling. I was the last one picked in gym class. Is that anything like that?
Yes, I was.
Were you?
Yes. I have no sports acumen whatsoever and glad of it. Thank you. However, I can use a baseball bat, but not in the way that was made to be used.
Oh, my. I will promise to behave. I promise to behave. I promise to behave.
In other words, dear, how much do you like your kneecaps?
Enough to behave.
Come over here and show you soprano style. Come over here. Over here. Yeah, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. Over there. I'm talking to you.
No. I don't want to sing soprano, please.
So
please,
what's happening here?
Please, Godmother. Please, Godmother. No.
What's happening here next week on Erie House, Dale?
Nothing. We're full.
Nothing?
Of the time.
Okay.
Yeah, we're full.
Never mind.
Of the time. Yeah.
Okay.
You might say we're being executed.
You might say that.
Yeah, because that's all it's all about is executions next weekend.
Yep.
Why wouldn't we? Lights out, suspense, and the witch's tale. Good. I like the man, the old witch. And that's just Friday. We've got, get this. This Dave's been telling me about this one. CBS Radio Mystery Theater's rendition of Occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge. That would be interesting on radio.
Yep. Because
I'm used to like the mute version on Twilight Zone.
Well, that was a French film that won the Gold Globe or something like that, or Cannes Film Festival Award. And so when Rod picked that up to show in there, that's why that's one that isn't actually owned by CBS. I don't think that they really package that one in there anymore, do they?
Probably fell into a gray area where it may or may not have been partially in public domain. I think I've seen it on YouTube, I think.
Yeah.
It's so hard. CBS and Sony, and they're such big titans.
Yeah.
And back when VHS...
Knack of getting rid of most of the public, or copyright stuff, but there's stuff that sneaks through the cracks. People do little stuff so it stays up there longer.
Yeah.
They'll do some crafty editing and changing, like, the aspects and things like that.
Oh, yes, they'll flip the credits going – when the credits run, they're all backwards or upside down.
Right. They'll show a left-handed version of it. Anyway,
how ingenious.
Thanks for dropping in, listening live, and we'll see you Friday night at 8:30 for an execution. Perhaps ours. Thanks, and good luck in prison. Say goodnight, CW.
Say goodnight. Goodnight, CW.
The foregoing has made it obvious to me that we've had quite enough for one evening. We shall save the rest until next week when I shall reappear. Until then, good night.
Ooh, how about that time?
Almost made it, yeah.
Well, the clock was actually, for once, it was right on. It was right on when she said there was a minute to go.
Ah, okay.
Holy crap.
There you go. So, it's now time for the after party.
Yeah.
Who brought the beer?
I left mine upstairs. My beer.
Hey, I have some warm Guinness, if anyone wants.
Yes.
Yeah, and I got some Squirt Zero sugar with me, so hooray.
I've been drinking this cheer wine diet, and it's black cherry, and I love it. And it comes in a glass bottle. It's so awesome. So anyway, I'm on this black cherry kick, and I haven't tried it yet, but I'm trying one of those seltzer liquor beer things, and it's a black cherry.
Yeah.
I'm going to try one.
Let me ask you, has anyone ever tried it? Has anyone ever tried a Shamrock Shake?
Yes.
Yeah, I've long time ago. I'm not a big mint fan, so I stay out of that.
Yeah.
So they really do taste like. I never tried one, and now that it's mint, I don't care to.
In the old days, they say it's an urban legend, but I believe it's true. In the old days, they really poured on the green dye, and it would have an effect on you. The green dye does not digest. How else can I say it nicely?
Oh, yeah.
Bombs the arteries, doesn't it?
It is true that some people cannot digest green food dye. And it's common.
Well, if you want to get into...
And scary.
Well, here's something that's... It used to be available. It's mm-hmm. been discontinued. I even looked on Amazon.com to see it. But the Haribo gummy things, have you heard of that kind of candy?
Yes, I have.
Gummies or something? Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, they had a sugar-free variety that had a rather, how shall we put it delicately, a Mount Vesuvius crablosive sort of event when it went through the digestive system.
But oh, God heavens.
And there,
oh, good heavens.
There are some hilarious stories on Amazon's review. You can still get a review of it, but again, you can't find them. They discontinued it. But some of the things that occurred literally will have you doubled over on the floor.
I'm sure some people were doubled over for different reasons.
I was going to say, all I need to do is talk somebody with a baseball bat, and that happens to me.
Yes. Oh. What do you want, Joey? Mighty Joe is trying to get in on the act here.
Oh, yeah. Aw. Is that Kitty?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's a big giant wuss cat. He's the most cowardly thing, but he looked like a baby gorilla when he was born. That's why he got his name, Mighty Joe Young.
Aw. Kitty, 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 kitty. Hey. But let's not discriminate, shall we? Not only are the baseball bats, I can do quite a bit of to-do with a cricket bat. Oh, Nigel, what's that you said, Nigel? Nigel, you might want to look over in that direction as the knees are going in that direction. Cricket bat time.
Well, that's, you know, you got to be multicultural even in case you travel, you know?
Yes.
Oh yes, of course. Absolutely.
Yes, you must break the kneecaps evenly across all cultural backgrounds.
Yeah.
Absolutely, diversity in all its facets.
And so, if you got to go to Canada, you need to take your hockey stick with you.
Oh yes. Is that a high stick I see? You will see it in just a moment. Thank you.
How?
When they're with CW, body check would be checking for your kneecap in the third row.
Yes. You guys play hockey rough, man. What the hell?
Are you kidding? Went to a fight and the hockey game broke out. Yes.
That's a classic.
I quite frankly think they need more shielding on the hockey players. Poor guys have practically all fake teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is true. That's true. Don't ask them to smile for the camera at the end of the show, that's for sure.
Yes.
That's not win many beauty contests.
Yeah, I think they're from Appalachia or something.
Or from a really nice concert, one or the other.
Sorry, that wasn't nice. I apologize, Appalachia.
My goodness.
Please don't cancel me. Please. Because if you canceled me, I'd be brokenhearted.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I'm so mean.
That is a surprise when you call in, isn't there, CW? How can these two Neanderthals keep doing this? That's what you probably ask yourself.
Yeah, Neanderthals. You're being kind.
Nonsense. No, not Neanderthals. Please, Cro-Magnons, please.
Yes. You know, let's not insult.
They're all called Neanderthals. Yeah, that's right. Oh, my.
Yep. I don't know. Loving these old-time shows, Dave. It's awesome because once you've run through almost all the movies you've ever wanted to see that are old, this is like a whole new... We could go on for years, CW, literally 3 years, and not repeat anything.
Yeah.
I know, and it's just fantastic. And also, Dave, you were able to scope out some... There was a play that you got out of South Africa, play that you did, I think, last year before we went into the year of COVID, or year before last, before COVID came around.
There was that one. Didn't we do a South African Day the Earth Stood Still or something?
That was Australian, yeah. That was Forbidden Planet. Day the Earth Stood Still was was Lux Radio here, I think that was the last year. The year was on NBC.
Now I got it.
Yeah, that Forbidden Planet was truly a find,
yeah, that was a nice science fiction night right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed that very much. But also, Canada.
Yeah, we've had stories from Canada. We've had stories from the UK. We've had stories from South Africa and Australia. Actually, several Australian versions. We've had an Australian shadow. The most of the fat mans that survived are from Australia. And then Caltex Theater that was the that was Forbidden Planet, that was from Australia. So
blimey.
Although Orson Welles was in London, that was actually produced, his stuff was recorded there and sent to Australia, and that was the Black Museum. Even some of the Witch's Tale recordings came from Australia as well. So.
Oh, wow. I had no idea about that.
Dave, through the stuff I found out through you working with you here, that character just intrigues me. Nan, the old witch from The Witch's Tale.
Yeah.
That young kid made such an opportunity for herself. And a pioneer, not just for gender, but for her age as well. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And during that time, of course, there were, in a sense, fewer opportunities, but more opportunities, I would guess. When you're in the early to mid-1930s, if you have the opportunity to do it, you can do some things that nobody else is able to do or to try, because there weren't demanding network things that say you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do this, you have to do that. So.
Quite right, but I'm just shocked that they would even allow what was she, a 13-year-old, you said?
Yeah.
13 when she got the job,
audition.
Now, but remember, who was that? Not Willis Cooper. The guy that wrote all of the Casey Crime Photographers, I don't know why I can't think of his name right now, but he also wrote all these stories and directed them and acted in them as well. Alonzo Dean Cole. And he, I don't know that he really auditioned. She showed up there and kind of auditioned for him at the end of his broadcast. She kind of was in the back corner and started cackling like the old witch and kind of came out like that. So it wasn't that it was a planned audition for her, but when he heard her, it just like rose the hair on the back of his neck. And I can imagine what it's like on radio. Imagine what it's like right there in a studio. And then
awesome.
To find out if
that's what it is.
That would be
awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and she was on she was already a radio veteran because she had already been on Let's Pretend, a kid's show. And in that several times, she had actually played a witch. So I guess that's how she kind of mastered it. And then when she heard that the other old Nancy died, she kind of showed up at one of the recordings or stuck around or whatever it was to be able to do that for Alonzo Dean Cole and stepped right into that role.
Wow. That's incredible. What an opportunity. I mean, what a piece of sheer chance to occur. So
and to have the skill to max, you know what I mean? To have the skill to maximize it too.
Yes.
Yes. So if anyone's listening, if you need... Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, me? I was saying to those that are listening, if you need someone to sound like a bloodthirsty, cold-blooded, sociopath, psychopath, here I am.
Auditioning, are you?
I thought that was why we prefer you to be here. The psychopath part. That's why you're a welcome guest anytime.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Actually, I think the last Witch's Tale that we did was one that was in the range of time when it was probably her as at 13, being the old Nancy the old witch. And I'm trying to get back here and see when that was. Was that The Knives? Yes, The Knife of Sacrifice. From February of this year, February 19th of this year. So if you want to go back into the archives, my friends, go to February 19th and you'll be able to hear. That was I'm not sure when we played that one first. Yeah, I think we played that one first.
Could have.
That's worth a repeat by all means. February 19th. Thank you. Thank you, Dave.
Yep, and all kinds of just, boy, we had, that's the night we had four shows. The Witch's Tale, The Suspense Blind Date, The Standby for Adventure, and Blackstone, The Magic Detective, and we even had time for a wheel and a song. My goodness.
That was quite a night.
That was busy 2 hours.
Goodness.
Dave chronicles everything we do.
Thank goodness for stretch meets.
It's a good thing because someday the police will have questions.
Yes, and we'll have an alibi.
That's right.
Yes, on February 19th, I was.
And then at 9:30, we.
I was on a blind date with a knife.
With a knife.
Yep, that was the night we were playing with knives.
Oh, yes.
You might want to word that a little differently when they're questioning you.
Yeah, that might not sound like too good of an alibi, you're right. Yeah.
I personally don't see much wrong with it, but hey, you know. Some cops are a little bit picky and suspicious.
Just a tad.
Yep. So too much fun. You guys ready for spring? Spring has sprung. The grass is riz. It ain't green here in Ohio, but
I'm ready for spring temperatures. We get some during the day, but at night it's still like 28 degrees. So I'm ready for some spring green temperatures.
But I still get to hear my little...
I think March is probably going to... Your little...
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, no, no. You first. You first.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, I think March is going to go out like a lion. I think we're going to get one last revenge from the groundhog. That's my prediction. I just think it's going to happen.
Well, it's only because the groundhog isn't really a meteorologist.
No. And he looks suspiciously like Bill Murray. So.
Depending on the angle, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has a better disposition than Murray, and that's my opinion.
Ouch. I like his cameo in have you seen Zombieland?
I did not.
The very first one, yes. I didn't see the second one, but I have seen the first one. Yes.
Yeah. I have not seen the second one either. And the first one was quite good. Oh, Dave, you must see it. It's a good comedy. It's got the Facebook kid, what's his name? The young fella. He's been in a few good movies now.
Oh, yeah, he was actually the new Lex Luthor in Batman
really?
Versus Superman.
Was he?
Yes. He was his I don't think he did the whole thing and shaved his head. They may have, but he did a wonderful version of it, and I cannot remember his name, but you're quite right. He was in the first one. I don't know who he was in the second one, but he was in the first one.
But Dave, what else? Who else is in it? Woody Harrelson, isn't it?
Harrelson.
Yes.
He plays quite the nut in this one.
He's good at that.
Yeah. He's got it down to an art.
Not to spoil anything for you, Dave, spoiler alert, but there is a scene where they're hunting for weapons and they come across this huge bright yellow Humvee next to a ramshackled old shack, and then open it up and it's loaded with just about every kind of weapon you can think. He said, "Lord bless rednecks."
Yeah. Yeah, they were seeking weapons for... zombie protection.
Ah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, thank God for rednecks.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you. Thank you. That's the line. And also, Dave, there is a particular famous dessert that is chronically mentioned throughout the first movie.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, he was missing part of the culture, you know, because it was like a post-apocalyptic story and very comical. You can imagine if Bill Murray has a cameo, then you know it's got to have some good comic. There's another movie that Bill Murray was in, another comedy, another zombie apocalyptic story. What the heck was the name of it? I watched it. It was pretty funny. Darth Vader was in it, too.
Oh,
or not Darth Vader, but what's his name? The kid from the Star Wars movie with the he's got rather long nose. He played in one of the major characters, the evil guy. The one that killed Han Solo.
Oh, Adam Driver.
Thank you. Yeah, Adam Driver and Bill Murray are in
Driver.
It. Yeah.
Yes, I can't think of the name right now, but I know the one you're talking about. Yes, that was pretty...
Yeah, pretty funny stuff. Pretty funny stuff. It was odd.
I wonder how Alfred, speaking of Bill Murray, I just wondered if Alfred Hitchcock had ever had an opportunity, if the streams had somehow crossed, who would have been more meaner, Bill Murray or Hitchcock? I mean, who would have won out in that knockdown dragout?
Chevy Chase. No, I don't know.
Yeah, he's a piece of work, too.
From what I hear, yeah, that's kind of why I threw that out there, because he's been known to be a real treat to work with as well.
Well, I don't know. There are some actors who, are like that. What's his face who did One of the Batman, Christian Bale. Yeah, they've got that famous tirade because the microphone was left on. It was leaked on the internet, and he just flipped. He flipped.
Oh, no.
go online. One of the carpenters who is a union, you can't do anything because he's union, and he's right in the middle of a scene. He's doing his lines and being this quote-unquote actor. He said the guy was in his line of sight, which was messing him up. I'm sorry, but just shut up and do what Olivier just said. Just learn. Can't you learn acting? Just shut up and do your lines. Spencer Tracy said, don't knock over the furniture. Just do your lines or something. Come on.
It's good advice.
Yep. Yeah, I think you were quoting Olivia to Dustin Hoffman, right?
And
he was supposed to be extremely tight. So like Dustin Hoffman stayed up for 2 days straight to film his part. And Olivia said to him something like, good gracious, man, why don't you just act?
Exactly. Thank you.
Good heavens.
I know, come on.
Good times.
But with that said, yes, thank you so much for inviting me to the after party, but I must be away soon.
We're running out of a little steam, too, to be quite frank with you, or at least I am.
Thanks for calling in and being part of this. It's always exciting to have you here.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Always welcome.
And I hope I haven't damaged. Well, thank you. I hope I haven't damaged any. Like I said, I'm still getting the hang of using a microphone.
No worries. Tay's still breaking me in.
We're trying.
Yes, so this thing is not even state of the art. I'm surprised you can actually hear me because I am literally whispering.
Yeah, I'm. So are you on the computer or just on a phone, straight through a phone?
A tablet. Part tablet,
tablet.
Part
okay.
phone.
Yeah, I don't know that much about controlling audio on tablets outside of a volume of increasing or downcreasing for output, but not for input or for what a microphone would be. Never used one in that capacity.
Neither do I. I just went on YouTube and said, plug it in, do this.
That's right. See if it works.
All right. Well, Dale, are we going out with the schnoz tonight or?
Let's see. We already did Hitch, so actually, I think what we shall do is close up the drive-in, folks. Thanks for joining us and for the after-party feature if you're listening in the archive. This is Dale Kay along with...
No, I'm going to hurt!
And? Good night.
And now, folks, it's time to say goodnight.
Good night.
We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment.
Good night.
Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.
Good night.